Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 10th day of December 2020. There is an interesting phenomenon in the body of Christ that continues to divide brothers and sisters, and that is the area of eschatology known as preterism. And today we are going to be discussing for the second time in 12 years, this issue with my guest today, Roderick Edwards, who is a former full preterist, also known by its critics as a former hyper preterist. And he is the author of About Preterism, The End is Past, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back after a very long absence, Roderick Edwards.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's almost 12 years to the day. I think it was December 12th last time.
Wow.
So I appreciate the time and effort that they're putting forward.
Right. And that was not even planned to be that close to the exact date. It just happened in Providence to turn out that way. Roderick, why don't you give us some of your background even though you may have done this 12 years ago, it's been so long, why don't you give us a summary of your salvation testimony, including what kind of religious atmosphere, if any, you were raised in, and what kind of circumstances our sovereign Lord providentially raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you?
Definitely. Well, I'm 52 years old. That way we can put a number to that. And it was at age 16 or so, I believe I was saved, was the word, the phrase we like to use. Because that's the time when I actually had gone through, like most teenagers do, through a period of feeling like the world was against me. And I felt like I was at my end of my ropes. I had my parents had divorced. I was adopted at age 4, and just everything seemed like it was going badly. And so at the very moment, I was contemplating what a young kid to do is a suicide attempt. I opened the Bible, which really, I've gone to Sunday school a few times, but never really had much upbringing in Christianity. My parents were not Christians. So I opened the Bible, which I'd found in my dad's basement in a cabinet. It looked like it had never been used. I think it was left there by their previous occupants. And I started reading through it, and I prayed to God the way obviously all know God. I said, God, if this is true, help me understand this. And obviously I wanted to get to the crux of the issue really quickly. So I read some of the Old Testament and some of the New Testament. What was interesting is I found out that a lot of the stories in the Old Testament were the same stories in the New Testament. And nobody taught me this, especially the one about raising up the golden calf in the wilderness when they looked upon, I'm sorry, the serpent. And when they looked at the serpent, they were saved from the bite. And I've seen that obviously as the analogy of Christ being raised up. And nobody taught me, so I was amazed. I was like, oh my God, this is just amazing. And there I basically broke down in tears and gave my life to Christ and said, you're truly true God. And things got changed around from there. And like most people, I went through a various degree of denominations from fundamental Baptist to Presbyterian, from Reformed Baptist, and then eventually winded up in what I liked, at least for my own soul, is Reformed Presbyterian the Covenanters, if you know, as in Scottish realm.
Yes, the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America is the official title of the denomination.
Correct. And so that's where I ended up, because I really, this really speaks to me, because it's no nonsense. It's just studying the Bible. I'm not saying that they're the right ones, but it's just, for me, it's good. They sing the Psalms, so therefore I know that the hymns or whatever I'm singing is not some man-made. I don't have to question the doctrine, because unfortunately, all my life I've been a data analyst, most of my career. And so I tend to analyze everything it's said, and unfortunately it gets in my way sometimes because I'm analyzing hymns when I'm singing them. I'm like, that doesn't sound biblical. That contradicts. So I'm thankful that they sing just the Psalms.
Well, I'm sorry?
That's my background in that.
Yeah. Today we are discussing a very controversial issue. And I have to give a caveat to our audience. Today, the subject at hand is going to involve things that my guest and I both agree over and also may disagree over. I happen to be a partial preterist. Unlike most partial preterists that I know, I am not postmillennial. I am an amillennialist, although I am not dyed in the wool about a lot of my eschatological views. I just know for certain that I believe in a visible, physical return of Christ and a visible, physical, bodily resurrection of the dead that is still in our future. And I believe that those issues, as my guest does, are absolutely essential and crucial for biblical Christianity. But where we part company is that I believe my guest has departed from preterism altogether, but he can further clarify that himself. And if you could, why don't you define preterism first and foremost?
Well, obviously you've mentioned the distinction between partial preterism and full preterism. And my book is called About Preterism because I want to cover both aspects. So preterism obviously advocates that all the discourse about the eschatology, about Jesus saying the times are at hand and the destruction of the temple and his return are in the past. Most preterists, even partial preterists would say yes, to some degree, yes, in the past, and then they have to go on to define how it's still future, how the things you just mentioned are still future to us. But hyper-preterists will say, or full-preterists will say, no, that's all in the past, and they'll even go further and talk to you about more things that are in the past, such as maybe pastors and all kinds of things that are in the past. So here's the distinction between partial preterism and full preterism. And you mentioned that I don't consider myself any kind of preterist. I'm not certain I agree with to me, at least in my past of being a full preterist. Find yourself a partial preterist, at least people I interact with, set you up immediately to be attacked or hostile from full preterists, because the whole time telling you how you can't be consistently a partial preterist. So I just like to say, no, I'm a historically Christian. I know it's very vague, but I like to start there. That way it kind of disarms you immediately.
Right, but obviously there are people in cults that say the same thing. So there's a difficulty that we who are Christians face in that using labels can become problematic when people misunderstand those labels and they have a slanderous or caricatured association with those labels, presuppositions that are false when it comes to those labels. Obviously, since we are both Calvinists, we know that many, many, many people who are opposed to Calvinism, especially those that are the most vehemently opposed to it, typically totally misunderstand it. And very often these same folks have only read the works that critique Calvinism. They've never read, some of them never read a single page of a single book by a Calvinist. So it's one of those things where that can be a difficulty. And also just saying, well, I'm just a Bible-believing Christian. Well, yeah, so do the Mormons, and so do the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that, and so does all kinds of folks. So we're never completely in an area of safety or preventing confusion or disagreement when we are trying to defend and explain what we believe. But
that's the reason why I use the word historical Christian. That way they immediately say, well, what does that mean? At least we get onto the realm of history as to how it, there's a continuity of Christianity, even through the denominations, there's a continuity, and then I can get to that point usually with them.
Well, tell us about how you came to first hear about preterism. And it is interesting that, as far as my experience, most preterists, at least those that I have met and heard about, have come from two different backgrounds. And in fact, many would consider these two very different backgrounds, and yet they have found commonality in partial or hyper-preterism, the latter of which I think is a heresy. That is, they have either come from theologically reformed backgrounds or, on the other end of the spectrum, from a restorationist or Campbellite background, otherwise known as the Churches of Christ, Christian churches, but actually even more predominantly the Churches of Christ, those that are a cappella in their worship, strictly a cappella, which actually, so are the Covenant or Presbyterians. It is interesting that, as they say, this subject makes strange bedfellows. Now, have you found what I just said to be true?
Yes, I mentioned that specifically in the book. Matter of fact, many of the so-called leaders of the Full Preterist Movement are directly from the Churches of Christ. And we'll get into it maybe a little further, but there was a meeting in Mount Dora, Florida, which is near where I am right now, back in, I think, 1991. I still have the dates right before me. Somewhere then, 96, between R.C. Sproul Sr., Max King, and some of the other guys in the theological movement there, trying to see what he was saying. And so you have this crossover between the Reformed and the Restoration. Reformed obviously don't want to throw everything out. They want to fix the things that were broken, whereas Restoration believes that something went wrong and they have to restore. So I see that. And mentioned in the book.
So tell us more about this meeting, how you discovered preterism and how it, you know, what were the developments in your life and in your thinking as far as embracing it? And did you begin as a partial preterist, as I am right now, or did you go immediately or at least quickly into full-blown hyper-preterism?
Well, I think many of the people who've become preterists today obviously have influences from now, but you have many preterists have written books and things like that, full preterists. However, when I was becoming a preterist, which is back in the early 1990s, there weren't a lot of books by anyone about on the topic. I happened to be reading, of all people, John Owen, The Death of Death and Death of Christ. You know, because I loved to read Reformed history at the time. I was solidly Reformed and still am. But anyhow, as I read that, I began to think, with my analyst background and logical background, well, the death is the last enemy, and John Owens is saying it's already been defeated. I erroneously concluded, almost a preterist view, but I didn't know what I was concluding. It didn't have a name for me at the time, so I started getting on the internet looking, does anybody else believe this? Am I just this crazy guy believing this and concluding this, or is it possible true? And I was able to go ahead and consider that because I came from a fundamental Baptist background where they would tell me many things that were not true, and I would have to research and find out they were telling me untruth. So I was okay with being possible that I didn't know something and could be wrong dramatically. But then I found online the preterist. And yes, I was ushered in pretty quickly into full preterism because my first contact was with guys like Ed Stevens and Don Preston. So I was pretty quickly ushered into that.
And when you came to believe in this concept, tell us how it, in practical terms, affected your Christian life, your day-to-day activities and mindset, your view of other Christians outside of that movement. Give us some kind of a overall sense of where this may have changed other things other than your eschatology.
Right. Well, it will. Anybody tries to tell you preterism is just about eschatology, you won't change much. They're not telling you the truth, or they don't understand it completely or something, because it does change everything. But let me get back a little bit. You said Calvinism. Now, we've seen new Calvinists, and Calvinists that get into Calvinism without knowing much of the background. They don't even know that Calvin had nothing to do with the 5 points. That was the Council of Dort. Calvin had been dead long before that was enough. But you have these new Calvinists, and they go off half-cocked, and they think they beat their chest, and they think they're the world debatesmen and everything else. I don't think I went that far when I became a preterist, but I did suddenly feel like I know more than many Christians. And there was a part of an arrogance that happens, I think, in a lot of preterists when they first arise in this. And it seems like that became my hobby horse to some degree, and I even got thrown out of a church over it. They basically had removed me from the church because I was so adamant that preterism, full preterism, was true. So it does affect a lot. And then I've known many, many people who go even further with it and affects even their social life, just in their family. Their wives get sick of hearing about it and things like that, and it just destroys their friendships and everything else with people.
By the way,
that's the reason why you reject it, but that's happened.
Just to let you know, I don't think that, I don't know if the term throw out is the term that I would like to use, but I do believe that this is such a serious issue. Even though I'm a partial preterist, I believe that the crossing over into full-blown hyper-preterism is such a serious heresy that I believe that it does demand discipline and even excommunication for the unrepentant over this issue, especially when they are zealously trying to proselytize that view in a congregation. Would you agree with that now, what I just said?
Yes. I agreed with it shortly even after. Even while I was a preterist, I agreed that preterists could not hold themselves to the same standard. Not because I was trying to be arrogant, because one of the claims of full preterism, at least, is that the church has been wrong or deceptive for 2,000 years. One way or another, the church didn't teach preterism, the full preterism. So when full preterists get into churches, they don't respect any kind of authority over them because they can't, because they believe that here's just some clergy who basically still don't get it, just like the clergy 2,000 years ago didn't get it. So what right do they have to tell me anything? And so the authority doesn't really come into play because they won't listen to it anyhow for the most part.
Well, another clarification I'd like to make is that the majority of those in both the Reformed movement, also known as the Doctrines of Sovereign Grace, and Calvinism, the majority are not hyper-preterist. In fact, I think that I would be accurate to say that most are not even partial preterist, like I am. And I know that my own congregation where I'm a member, I know that at least one of my pastors is not a partial preterist because he's preaching through Revelation right now, and he made that clear during his last sermon. And also I could say the same from my experience with my friends and brethren in the Church of Christ. In fact, I've seen some pretty animated debates between amillennial ministers in the Church of Christ and hyper-preterists. So I just wanted to make that clear as well. I didn't want to give anybody a false impression that there's something deeply connected with either of those camps. Do you have any idea why, though, those two camps of theological background seem to be most drawn to hyper-preterism?
I really believe it's because those two camps, whether it's Reformed or Church of Christ, because I used to go to Church of Christ as a full preterist. There was a couple of full preterist Church of Christ around me, and I went to those. But I truly believe that the reason why they're so susceptible to it is because, unlike a lot of modern evangelical Christian denominations or non-denominations, whatever you want to call them, they tend to study the Bible in very detail. They will analyze words. They will be exegetical. They'll be hermeneutical. Whereas a lot of these churches will just tell you stories and just, you know, kind of passes by and that's it. It doesn't get very deep. So when you start analyzing every little detail, you say, like, well, this could be true and this could be true and this could be true. And for example, when we look at, you said that you believe that a lot of Calvinists aren't full preterists or preterists in general. That might be true for saying they don't call themselves that. But if you look at the Geneva Bible, the one that's used mainly by the original Calvinists, every Geneva Bible note on a lot of the all of his discourse and everything else is basically at least a partial preterist interpretation of what you would see today. So I mean, they understand that the temple being destroyed and everything else. They actually mention that in the note. So they just didn't use that term. That term wasn't even useful until the 1800s, and then again in after the Mount Dora is really when I started hearing preterism. You can look on there and see when preterism was used in books.
What does the actual word mean, preterist?
Right, that word. So nobody used that word or that title. They didn't call themselves that.
And what does it mean?
Preterist, it just means past. If you're taking out the theological term for just preterist, it's a Latin word for past.
Mm-hmm. And likely another reason that both Reformed and Church of Christ folk tend to be more drawn to preterism in general is because neither come from a dispensationalist background, and unfortunately, my brothers and sisters on that end of the spectrum or that area of eschatology, I'm speaking especially about, and I hate to use the term layman, but I can't think of an appropriate word to use other than that. I don't want to falsely claim that the more serious student of the Bible, those that are pastors and seminary professors, have not studied into this issue deeply, so that's why I'm specifying especially laymen. But many dispensationalists have never even explored another idea or another view of eschatology, even though historically it's a very new view and didn't even come about until the 19th century. Premillennialism existed for nearly the entirety of Christendom, but when you get into... I'm sorry, you were very muffled. I didn't hear what you just said.
I'm sorry, it was advocated by Justin Martyr, for example.
Yeah, right. But pre-tribulationalism and the specific details of dispensationalism did not occur until the 19th century. But I think that's another reason why you have those two groups being more drawn to a preterist understanding is because neither had the trappings of dispensationalism. The idea, why is this, why are we having this discussion today, why is this view of hyper-preterism let me finish my sentence. Why is this view of hyper or full preterism so serious that folks like me and you believe that it puts one out of the faith? Now, obviously, I don't believe that about partial preterism, and I hope you don't either, but I'm talking about full-blown hyper-preterism that denies the future return of Christ and the future resurrection of the dead.
Well, one reason why it was so attractive to a lot of people is because, as you talk about dispensationalism, which has gripped much of America, if not Europe, since at least the late 70s, as the date setters and the Hal Lindsey and such. And so it's almost like a pendulum swing. So we have the partial preterists who came around, but the full preterists go the other way, so much so that it feels like a breath of fresh air to a lot of people who come to it. They'll read, Matthew 24, 2 through 3 and such, and where they'll see, you see these stones here, not one stone left standing, and I say to you, the Son of Man shall not come. These passages that they'll read, and they'll say, well, hey, I never heard it read that way. I never heard it interpreted that way. And they feel like they've found something new. And so one reason it's dangerous is because it's hyper-preterism or full preterism. It has to completely, as they called it early in the early days of hyper-preterism, do it via paradigm shift, complete change of Christian thinking. I often try to reprimand, and this is the reason why I've had difficulties with partial preterists. I have to reprimand people who will call hyper-preterists or full preterists my Christian brothers. Now, it has nothing to do with their salvation. I'm not talking about that. I've been accused. Well, you're saying you're going to hell, but no, I have no idea. That's God's plan. However, I do know that they're not historically Christians any more than somebody who is in America advocating communism would be advocating an Americanism. So that's kind of where we are right now. That's the reason why it's so dangerous.
But I'm assuming that you don't believe that being a partial preterist puts one outside of the faith.
No, because you don't have to. I mean, again, we talked about how the Geneva Bible had the notes. And we can go back all the way through history, even though they don't use those terms, and we see partial preterist interpretations of the text. Whereas full preterists can never find somebody in the past, some theologian in the past, who had consistently advocated a full preterist view. The closest they get is James Stuart Russell in the 1800s, from what I can see, where you have somebody who begins to advocate, a theologian who begins to advocate. Now, just because he doesn't have a history of being advocate doesn't mean necessarily it's false either. However, I believe in a God that has continuity. He works through the Holy Spirit, has always worked through the Holy Spirit through time and history, and we should be able to look back and see where he's been working. And full preterists can't say that about anything they're doing.
Okay, we're going to go to our first break right now. Let me ask you a question from a listener, and then I'll have you answer it when we come back. We have an anonymous listener who says, I am becoming more and more interested about the subject of preterism, but I am also not a full or hyper-preterist. And I was wondering how the hyper-preterists respond to the charge that they are guilty of the heresy of Hymenaeus and Philetus. And we'll have you answer that when we come back from our first break. And our email address, if you'd like to join that listener with a question of your own, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And now we're going to hear from a message from a very dear friend of mine, Gary DeMar, who calls himself a partial futurist. But he would, although being a postmillennialist, he would share my partial preterist view, although he prefers the term partial futurist. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You, I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic.
call 1-800-669-4878.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and our discussion today is on the topic of preterism, and more specifically, our theme today is titled About Preterism, The End is Past, which is the title of a book by our guest today, Roderick Edwards, a former full preterist or hyper preterist. And we are taking questions via email from our listeners at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are a hyperpreterist yourself, or obviously you wouldn't call yourself that, but you fit the definition of a hyperpreterist that my guest and I are using, and you'd rather not draw attention to yourself. Perhaps it's because that view is in great opposition to your own elders, your own denomination, etc. And for whatever reason why it's a personal and private matter, we will allow you to remain anonymous. But please, if it's just a general question on theology and eschatology, please give us at least your first name, city and state of residence, and your country of residence. And the anonymous listener before the break, as you may remember, Roderick, asked you how hyperpreterists respond to the claim by those who are their eschatological and theological opponents, that they are guilty of the heresies of Hymenaeus and Philetus, and perhaps you could even elaborate on what that heresy actually is.
B, because you're commercial there.
I'm sorry. Can you start again? Because I accidentally had you on. I accidentally had you on mute. I'm sorry.
No worries. Well, I feel compelled to use the NASB because your commercial there was so slavically pushing it. So I'm going to go ahead and use that one.
Yes, the NASB is very largely responsible for the show's existence. So.
So we're looking at 2 Timothy 2, basically, is where we're looking at. The context would be verses 14 through 19, but we'll just jump right into the actual verses in 16. It says, but avoid, this is Paul, by the way, talking to Timothy, trying to give him advice on how to counsel his own people and also be a good pastor. So he says, but avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, claiming that the resurrection has already taken place, and they are jeopardizing the faith of some. So that's typically the first thing that people say. Matter of fact, some of the early things that happened to full preterists were, as you mentioned, the Church of Christ, they weren't always, not that they are now, but they weren't always the ones that we thought of when we think of full preterism. But when Max King first came out, his own denomination fought it as, they called it the AD 70 doctrine. That's what they called it. And then when they came up in the Reformed churches, a lot of times they called it the Hymenaeus and Philetus heresy. So they actually gave it a name. They didn't call it hyperpreterism. And they get it from this verse here that we're talking about. So the answer is, how was a hyperpreterist, when you read this damning verse, it makes it sound like, well, it's speaking directly about you. You can't avoid it. So what the hyperpreterist will do, and rightly so, they will say, well, wait a minute, this is happening before AD 70. Of course, if the Hymenaeus and Philetus were talking about the resurrection happening before AD 70, they were in error. But after AD 70, they wouldn't have been in error. Unfortunately, for the hyperpreterist or full preterist, we don't have any biblical text supposedly addressing anything beyond, unless, I don't know where you are on the dating of Revelation, we can look at that in a moment, but for the most part, we don't have anything that deals with post-AD 70 church, just want to talk about that, for the most part. It's supposed to go on as it was.
So do you...
The Hymenaeus and Philetus were talking before AD 70, so they were wrong at that time, but they're not wrong. They wouldn't be wrong after AD 70.
Now, do you think that is an adequate response from a full preterist or a hyperpreterist? Do you believe that they are accurately called, or should I say, that they are accurately charged with the heresy of Hymenaeus and Philetus?
No, I would not say they're accurately charged, because again, I would agree with them that Hymenaeus and Philetus were talking about the resurrection before. So now, as a church or as a Christian, you would have to advocate and show where talking about the resurrection after AD 70 is, as having passed, would still be a heresy. Which I think there you're going to have to go into more of a theologian to be able to prove.
So in other words, you think that it's a heresy to deny the future resurrection of the dead and the return of Christ, but that's just not a verse that you use to prove that.
Correct.
Okay. Well, by the way, thank you, anonymous listener, and if you give me your full name and mailing address, obviously that will not be disclosed on the air, we will send you a free copy of About Preterism, The End is Past, provided by our guest, Roderick Edwards. Before we go on to another listener question, if you could give us some of the key texts that full preterists use to claim that the return of Christ has already come in finality in the past, and that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred in finality. Obviously, partial preterists believe that there are different kinds of comings of Christ. Partial preterists would view the destruction of the temple itself as a coming of Christ, but not his final coming, and not where he is physically and visibly seen as returning in his body, that is. But the hyperpreterist obviously takes it further, hence the adjective hyper. But if you could explain what are the key texts and the key doctrines that you believe set this group of folks outside of the body of Christ in truth.
All right. So as you mentioned, and this is the reason why there might have been a little contention, because some people think, well, Rod's also against partial preterists. Because I'm leery, because I know it leads into and can lead into, and I've seen it lead into full preterism. I think it's very careful. Somebody who's advocating partial preterism needs to be extra careful in how they're advocating it. So because they use some of the same text, for example, Matthew 24, that entire chapter, is used by full preterists and hyper preterists alike to advocate a pass.
You mean partial and hyper preterists alike?
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. But the problem is that a lot of dispensationalists who have come out of dispensationalists, a lot of the current full preterists, from what I can gather online, that are not coming out of the Reformed camps, and they're not coming out of the Churches of Christ. They're coming out of the dispensationalists. Because again, preterism, full preterism especially, seems like a breath of fresh air. Like we've been lied to all this time. There's been a giant conspiracy. They believe that. And so when they read, again, when they're not taught in their dispensationalist churches that Jesus in Matthew 24, in the full hall of the discourse, Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, when he was talking about the temple being destroyed, they were taught in their dispensationalism that's going to be some future temple. So when they read it for themselves over again and they say, wait a minute, that is the temple in the past, and they feel like, what else has been lied to me? So, again, when we see in Matthew 24 and 3, and it says, actually 2, he says, Jesus is talking to his disciples, he's sitting on the Mount of Olives, he says, do you see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be thrown down. Now we know in AD 70, the temple was destroyed, the Herodian temple. It's just a matter of fact. But he goes on and says, and as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? A lot of English, especially King James, says the end of the world. So that's where you get that, end of the world instead of age. Preterists will spend hours and hours and hours on age versus world, mellow and such, the Greek behind it. But the problem is, and I think Gary DeMar probably had some long articles on this, but as you go through Matthew 24 and you keep going verse by verse, you ask somebody, when does the time change? Because most partial preterists will start reading in Matthew 24:1, and they'll say, yes, that's past, yes, that's past, yes, that's past. Then they'll get all the way down to, let's see, Matthew 24:24 says, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and will provide great signs and wonders so as to mislead many, if possible, even the elect. So a question from full preterists to partial preterists, is that past as well? And then we get down to, I'll skip them just so we can get to the verse 29, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be dark and the moon will not give its light, and, you know, the stars will fall from the sky, all these end-time events. Again, a full preterist will ask, is that also past? At some point, what I'm trying to get to, at some point, a full preterist, or partial preterist, rather, will say that this is where the break is. You know, everything before this verse is all past, but everything after this verse is all future. And that's usually somewhere around, if I recall right, Matthew 24, 32, and 34, somewhere right in there where it says, now learn the parable of the fig tree. As soon as its branches become tender, sprouts, leaves, you know that the summer is near. So too, you will know when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And then we get to that no one knows the hour, the day or hour. Even the angels of heaven, nor the Son of the Father, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like it was in the days of Noah, which were obviously sudden and unexpected. So the question is, that you asked me is, what verse is it? They'll use these same texts and then challenge the partial preterists to tell them where the text has turned to future. I would ask you, what do you think it changes the future?
I'm still studying that because I know that even two friends of mine who I highly regard, who are both partial preterists or partial futurists, Gary DeMar and Ken Gentry, for instance, disagree over this somewhat. So I'm still one of the reasons I think that I may have described myself before as somebody who is not absolutely 100% committed to my view. I am exploring it, but that's the way that I would describe myself. That's the way I would best describe myself, as where I'm leaning anyway, is a partial preterism and amillennialism, unlike most of my partial preterist friends who are postmillennial. But I have to reiterate that the church where I'm a member does not, to my knowledge, doesn't take an official position on it, but I know that at least one of my pastors is not any kind of a preterist, or at least one that would be identified as a partial preterist, because he revealed that during a sermon on Revelation during a series on the subject. So I haven't quite come to a concrete conclusion on that, but there are some things that I think make sense from a partial preterist view, and I think that many Christians take far too much of Revelation and put it completely in the future, whereas it would seem strange to me that some of the warnings and so on of John in the book of Revelation were not something happening to the churches, or a threat, an imminent threat to the churches of his day. I would even wonder sometimes if he would be considered a false prophet by the church had not some of those things actually come to pass while they were alive. But let's go to, well, actually, yeah, I'll have to ask this next question and have you answer it when we come back from the break, because you're not going to have enough time to answer it, because we have to break in 2 minutes.
Let me go ahead and finish one more thing on this, since you brought up Revelation. Can I do that?
No, you can't, because we don't have enough time. We're going to be going to it, because you could do that when we return. But not right now. In fact, I'll just go to the break now. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And keep in mind, folks, I'm asking you to be patient with me, with us, because this is the longer than normal break in the middle of the show. Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they are required by the FCC to localize this show to Lake City, Florida. And therefore, while we air our globally heard commercials, they air their own local public service announcements and other things that localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and all of their programming to Lake City, Florida. So please be patient during this longer break. Use this time wisely. Please write down as much of the information as you can provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and more successfully patronize our advertisers, because that will keep them happy. That will keep them interested in continuing to sponsor the show. And that is absolutely essential for the existence of this program. We depend upon our advertisers to exist. So please try to keep them happy, even if it just means responding to their ads by telling them, thank you so much for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And also, as I said, send in your emails with questions on the end times, on preterism, to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back, right after these messages from our sponsors.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of 3 New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugs,
www.ccrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gaddy. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And folks, while there's still time, put your Christmas orders in as quickly as possible by going to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and making your selections for all of your Christmas gifts. And keep in mind, folks, I think it's very important when we purchase the finest in Christian literature, including that which is published and provided by solid-ground-books.com, that we not only purchase these books for our brothers and sisters in Christ who already have the benefit of knowing the gospel and are already saved. I ask of you, Lord, I ask of you to pray to the Lord that you, that books you purchase from solid-ground-books.com are used by Him to draw the lost to salvation as well and give them the gift of eternal life through embracing the gospel through the bibliocentric literature published by Solid Ground Christian Books. It's very important that we not forget those that we love who are lost when we are purchasing a Christian literature. So make your Christmas list long and purchase many books, as many as you can afford to, from solid-ground-books.com. And make sure you always mention to them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And remember, you're not only going to be doing them a favor, and you're not only going to be doing us a favor by keeping our advertiser happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor because of the fact that they carry and publish the best, the finest in Christian literature from the past and the present. At solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and I hope that we hear some good news from the founder of solid-ground-books.com very soon, Mike Gaidosh, that more orders are flooding in. That way we know that he will be able to afford to continue sponsoring this program. He is a vital sponsor of the show. Without the support of solid-ground-books.com, we would likely not exist barring a miracle from God. So please continue patronizing solid-ground-books.com as often as you can. Also, folks, if you love this program and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing so. If you prefer snail mail, an address, a physical address, will appear on the screen where you can mail checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. You will see that address. Also, folks, if you'd like to advertise with us, whether it be for your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your professional practice, like a medical or a law firm, or perhaps it's a special event that you are involved in orchestrating and promoting. As long as whatever it is that you are promoting is compatible with what we believe, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign immediately because we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you do need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what I believe. So, if you are in that category, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And last but not least, folks, if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I urge you to please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I have lists, very extensive lists, of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth and have helped many people in our audience find churches, sometimes just a few minutes from where they live that they didn't even know existed, in all parts of the globe. And I may be able to help you too. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com if you are in that category, and put "I need a church" in the subject line, whether it's for yourself or someone that you love who does not have a biblically sound church home, or if you're just going on vacation somewhere and you're not familiar with the good biblically sound churches in that area. I may be able to help. Send that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in questions to our guest, Roderick Edwards, on our subject today, preterism, and more specifically on his book about preterism, "The End Is Past." And our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question is about a personal and private matter. And before the break, Roderick, you said you wanted to delve into some more texts in Revelation.
Yeah, we were talking about some of the proof texts, and specifically where you had referenced Revelation as being something that a lot of Christians will believe is the only place that the end times or eschatology is mentioned, which I would urge them to realize that Jesus talks about eschatology and end times probably just as much, if not more. But I wanted to look at Revelation 11, 1, just, I think it's just one chapter all I need here, next two chapters, two verses rather, I'm sorry. So again, NASB, then there was a given to me a measuring rod like a staff, and someone said, "Get up and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. Leave out the courtyard, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, because it's been given over to the nations, and they will trample it, trample the holy city for 42 months. Now, this is the Apostle John supposedly being told to measure the temple. Now, preterists will say, look, see, this is the reason why this has already happened or has happened, because Revelation, this is John measuring the temple that Jesus was talking about being destroyed in Matthew 24. And the reason they say that is because he specifically says, leave out a certain part of it because it's going to be given to the nations to trample for 42 months, which ends up being 42 months, which ends up being 3.5 years, which is the exact time that the Romans besieged Jerusalem. So that's why preterists will point this out as a major proof text showing that, one, that Revelation was written before AD 70, and two, that all these prophecies of the end times are tied together.
And you disagree with that interpretation, because even the partial preterists would hold that view, not just those that were in the heretical camp of hyper-preterists.
No, we mentioned about the Geneva Bible. I definitely believe that a lot of the that we see as, at least from the dispensational camp, as being future, has actually already happened. As you go back and you look at places like Geneva Bible and some other theologians from the past, they always advocated that these things had happened in the past. It wasn't something new. But unfortunately, in America, a lot of us have never heard that because we were raised as dispensationalists. So we always thought everything was future. So the first time we hear that it's past, it gives an inroad immediately to full preterists to say, well, everything was past. So no, I do believe that he's talking about the temple in AD 70 there. However, obviously, I believe that the resurrection, the end of sin, and other things we'll talk about in the future here, are still future.
Right. And obviously, just as we were mentioning or discussing before the program, you might have even mentioned it during the interview, and I just don't recall right now, but just because something can lead or can be distorted to justify one becoming something that is a twisted and in perhaps extreme view of whatever it is that is their starting point does not disprove the truthfulness or the reality of the more orthodox version of that view. Like, for instance, Calvinism. There are people who will say, if you believe in Calvinism, if you believe in the five points of Calvinism, if you believe that God is already predetermined, preordained before the foundation of the world, those who would be saved, then there's no reason to evangelize, and you'll become a hyper-Calvinist, and you'll stop evangelizing and all these things that are caricatures and slanders of historical biblical Calvinism. Just because there are people that distort the truth does not call into question the truth where they began. Am I explaining myself fairly clearly?
That's exactly right. I just think that coming from full preterism, I hadn't been caught up in it. I do think the onus, though, is on, especially as we mentioned earlier, you were not settled on where to split up Matthew 24. I think it's very important that people who call themselves partial preterists or such be very careful how they explain that. They need to, because obviously somebody who's weaker or something can easily move right into the full preterism if you're not careful.
Yes, and there's also something that I have to be careful about. I am not by any stretch of the imagination, an expert on the field in which we are discussing, and therefore I don't want to represent the position in an official way where there are far more qualified people who have exhaustively researched these issues at great depth, even those that know the original languages of Scripture and so on, who would far better represent a partial preterist view than I ever would. So I have to be careful about delving into matters that are above my pay grade. And you know, because this show is listened to by tens of thousands of people, so I don't want to present a straw man to hyper-preterists or even those who are dispensational and other opponents of partial preterism by giving a straw man, well, Chris Arnzen said this or that, and therefore it was easily debunked. You know, I'm not somebody who would be an official representative of that position. In fact, there is a question now from John in Bangor, Maine, who asks, I was wondering if your guest was recognized as somebody thoroughly knowledgeable on full preterism when he was still embracing that point of view. The reason I ask is that I was wondering how to refute the notion that many of his opponents today, who are still hyper-preterists, that he is not qualified to be speaking on these issues.
Well, it's hard to say that. Well, it's hard for me to describe that I'm qualified. I do know that Sam Frost, I believe you've had on the show once before,
yes,
also discussed some of the same topics. He's definitely a more scholarly individual, had spent more time when he was a full preterist as well in the conference circuit. And at one point he said something to the effect, I don't have the quote before me, but something to the effect, Roderick Edwards, and this is while I was just coming out of full preterism, he was still in there. He said, Roderick Edwards is the most dangerous individual to full preterism that there is exists today. So, I mean, if you have the guy who was the main speaker of full preterism telling people that I was the most dangerous guy against it, then I think at least you should give me a listen. And to take the opportunity here for a moment to say, my book is not a refutation of preterism or full preterism. It's basically a walk through the history of it. I don't want anybody to look it up and go, hey, this is going to be my silver bullet. I'm going to get Roderick's book, and I'm going to end those full preterists once and for all. No, that's not what it's about, and that won't help you that way.
By the way, you'll be happy to know, right while I was speaking with you, I was getting texted by Sam Frost, who was expressing his pleasure that you're my guest today and saying that you're a solid guy and all that. So,
and we used to be, actually, I mean, if you want to call us nemesis, even when I was a full preterist and he was a full preterist, we were nemesis because he was advocating almost a structure that would be reconstituting pastors as preterists. And I said, that's not consistent. Full preterism says that pastors have ended. How can you be a full preterist pastor? And Sam and I used to butt heads all the time about that. And I think he eventually realized that it wasn't an inconsistent view to claim he was a pastor while being a full preterist.
Yeah, well, obviously he's departed from that view with a vengeance.
Right. I hope that answers the question. I don't like to say, hey, I'm an expert, but other people have said that I have something to say. So,
the listener, John, in Bangor, Maine, was merely asking if you were recognized by those in that camp as somebody who knew what he was talking about, and you just demonstrated that Sam Frost, while he was still a full preterist or hyper-preterist, had... Excuse me?
The irony is that both Sam Frost and I will be accused by many hyperpreds, which we have been, as leading hyperpreterism because we wanted attention or something. I don't get why that why they say that. It's sort of like if you left Mormonism, the only reason you left it is because you wanted attention. But that has nothing to do with that. Matter of fact, this is only one of 9 books I've written, and all the other ones have nothing to do with preterism. So.
By the way, John in Bangor, Maine, you have also won a free copy of About Preterism, The End Is Past, so make sure that we get your full mailing address in Bangor, Maine. Do you have any other of the key areas where full or hyper-preterists have, in your opinion, departed from what we could call and identify as true biblical Christianity?
Well, one thing that full preterists do, and actually probably any heresy does, the first thing it tries to get you to do is tries to doubt main tenets of the faith. And typically what they'll say is there's never been any solid church position on eschatology, which I would argue, even while I was a full preterist, I argued against that logic. Because if anything, eschatology is the most settled. You can have denominations arguing over who to baptize, how to baptize, and such and such and such, but almost all of them throughout history have believed that Jesus is yet to come, that the resurrection of believers is yet to be, that the end of sin and the culmination and the judgment is yet to be. All of them believe that. However, full preterists will try to get you to believe that that's not the case, and they'll say that the eschatology is not a settled field, and they'll try to get you to come almost like a buddy. They'll, hey, let's just discuss this, and you know, it's kind of wishy-washy. There's 30,000, 33,000 denominations. Let's just discuss this. They'll try to make it sound like they're just trying to discuss an unclear doctrinal position, and I think we should advocate against that strongly, that it's not an unclear doctrinal position. It's probably the most settled doctrinal position in all of the church.
We have Christopher from Western Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who says, other than the fact that full or hyper-preterism is a departure from historic Christendom, how can you say that this is a gospel-oriented issue whereby those that embrace this view are outside of the body of Christ?
Excellent. Excellent question. Because, as we said early on, I think when we began the conversation, that preterism does not just affect eschatology. We kind of referenced a little bit when we were talking about Sam Frost claiming to be a pastor while he was still a full preterist, which is inconsistent with Peter saying that when the chief shepherd comes, the under-shepherds will get the reward, which means it seems to be that if he came back already, there are no under-shepherds. So there's it's affecting ecclesiology, the church. And now we're talking about affecting the missions and the gospel. Well, a lot of preterists will believe that the gospel message of taking the gospel to the world was only meant till AD 70. If that's the case, then what mandate do we have to take the gospel message anywhere else? They'll also believe that there's no more sin, that sin was completely eradicated at AD 70. And therefore, there's no reason for judgment, there's no reason to confess sin, there's no reason to have any remorse for sin or anything like that, because it's all done with. So that dramatically affects the gospel message.
Thank you, Christopher. You have also won a free copy of the book that we are discussing about preterism, The End Is Past. And we want to thank not only Roderick Edwards for providing us with these free copies of his book, but also we want to thank our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, for actually shipping out these books to our winners at no cost to them or to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. And we want to thank cvbbs.com for always blessing us in that way, shipping out winners their Bibles and books and other things that they win, which makes us here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio not responsible for that enormous expense, which actually we could not afford to do on a regular basis. So thank you, CVBBS.com, and I would strongly urge you to look up that website and to see the wealth of fine literature that they offer. And in fact, they carry all of Solid Ground Christian Books titles, and if they don't have them in stock, they will order them for you. So you might want to first go to solid-ground-books.com, which is another one of our sponsors, make a long list of books you want to purchase from them, and then order them from cvbbs.com. Either way, both of my sponsors will be blessed in doing so. Let's see here. We have a listener from Bobby in Hartsdale, New York. And Bobby says, can you define or give a label to your understanding of eschatology today? I know that from what you've already said, you might not be fond of labels, but do you have anything that we can at least get a realm of where you are coming from in the area of eschatology?
And I appreciate that. I appreciate how he worded it, because when I, and Sam Frost will tell you, but when a full predators leaves the movement, the first thing that happens, they, well, what do you believe now? Are you just going back to a futurist? And they get claimed that they're becoming a Catholic or whatever. They, all kinds of things, that accusations are thrown out. Unless you come up with a brand new position to take over preterism, they will hound you and hound you until you do. So early on, I purposely did not, because I, first of all, I didn't want to go from one error to my own self-made error. So I've been taking it very slowly, and I did have to call myself a historic Christian. So what I try to do is I look through the Bible, as we should, the first thing. But then I look through historical Christianity, through the scholars and such, and see, is my belief that I'm reading here in the Bible, my interpretation of it, in line with at least some amount of Christians in the past? And so what I guess I'm going to label it, something I call it a minimal eschatology, where I believe the four things that I talked about earlier, that Jesus is yet to come, that the judgment is yet to happen, that the resurrection is yet to happen, in out of order here, I'm sorry, and the end of sin is yet to happen. So beyond that, I try not to go any further than that when I'm talking about eschatology, because the rest of it, who's the Antichrist and what's the abomination of desolation, we can all speculate. But as we saw in 2 Timothy 2, it says, you know, all the wranglings over words and various things are just going to be, the end result is not going to be good. So I try to avoid that now.
Well, thank you, Bobby. And you've also won a free copy of About Preterism, The End Is Past, and CVBBS.com. We'll ship that out to you. We need your full mailing address in Hartsdale, New York. So get that to us right away. We have, let's see here, we have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, right here in our area of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And BB asks, I heard somebody during the Sam Frost, Don Preston debate on this very issue on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio ask Sam Frost if he believed he was lost when he was still a hyper-preterist, having been someone who departed from that view and now claims that it is a false theology that puts one outside of the genuine saving faith. How would you categorize yourself back then? Do you believe that you were not regenerate back then? Or was this just an error that you had as a born-again Christian and were led out of it by the Holy Spirit?
An excellent question, and unfortunately it also is often an accusation by preterists. The first thing they'll say is, you know, are you saying you weren't saved when you were full preterist? Well, obviously, you know, as a Calvinist, one of the tenets are that, I hate to say it this way, but people know it this way, once saved, always saved, or perseverance is the saint. You know, all these so-called tulips. So even while I was a full preterist, I was still a Calvinist, so obviously I didn't think of myself as unsaved. So now, in retrospect, do I look back and say, was I unsaved? No, I do not think I was unsaved. I was misled for a time, but not unsaved. Now, hypothetically, what if I would have died as a full preterist? What would have happened to me? Again, I'm not here to tell you that hyper-preterists are going to hell. I know that it's a wrong, damnable teaching, but it doesn't mean a full preterist is automatically going to hell. That's only God's determination. Obviously, if the thief on the cross who appears to have not done anything at the very last moment says, you know, pray for me to be in your kingdom, and today you will be, I can't say who is and who isn't going to be in heaven, but definitely you're doing damage to people and people around you when you advocate anything that's outside the biblical realm, when you're advocating heresy, whether it's preterism or anything. So I hope that answered.
Yeah, and let me ask you a question of my own in that regard, because there are all sorts of issues that would fall into that category, like issues like the Trinity and so on. Now, do you view as being in a different category, a unique category, those studied men who persist and continue unrepentantly in teaching a heresy like those that oppose the Trinity, those that are Oneness Pentecostals and Unitarians and so on, those that are hyper-preterists, those that you could come up with a lot of different things, that they are in a different category, especially if they forever remain aggressively proselytizing that view, trying to corrupt members of the body of Christ with their view. There's a different category for those folks than your average person who has been temporarily duped by it. And one of the reasons why I believe that there are two different categories of people is that in Galatians, Paul, interestingly enough, calls the Galatians his brothers, even though they were at the time of his writing duped by the heresy of the Judaizers. He treated those teachers of the Judaizer movement as being false Christians, and that they are to be accursed and so on, that they have no gospel at all. He seemed to treat them differently than the average Christian in the church that he planted himself. He treated them with a little bit more kindness, even though he says that they're fools, and he says, who's bewitched you? He still called them brothers. So do you think there is a different category there?
I'm still hesitant because I don't think it's my place. It makes me think of this thing in Acts when Paul was talking to the Pharisees and said the same thing to them, basically called them his brothers, even though they were teaching something different about the resurrection, even something different about the Messiah. But yet he still called them brothers. So I was a little confused by that. I try to be hesitant. However, one thing I'm thankful that the Lord made sure didn't happen to me, I didn't write any preterist books while I was a preterist. Because I think once you invest something so detailed into something, like, for example, I don't want to, is it okay if I name a few names without getting too...
You can feel free to name names. I mean, after all, even though you say it's a different heresy, Paul mentioned Himelatus and Philetus.
Right. So we see somebody like Don Preston or even John Noe. These men have written books upon books upon books. Could you imagine them trying to extricate themselves from this? How would you, you'd have to be very humble to say, I was wrong about all these 15 books I wrote, all these years I invested. Now, can it happen? It does happen. But it seems like it's very difficult. You'd have to become a very humble person. It takes a very special kind of person. I actually praised Sam Frost because he was pretty heavily into it. I didn't think that man would ever leave it, even when I left before he did 2 or 3 years before. But sure enough, here he is, by grace of God. So I'm really hesitant to subscribe that these people are in a different level. I guess they are to some degree because they're more responsible for misleading people. People take them more seriously because they present themselves as leaders. But as if they're actually the ones that are damned and the other ones aren't possibly damned, they're just in error, that's not really my place to say.
Well, one of the reasons I say that is that I know theologians and apologists like my dear friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who says over the years, over the decades of his ministry as an apologist, he has encountered many people who are in theologically sound churches that, especially when you're talking about the average individual in those churches, define the Trinity as a modalist would, as a oneness Pentecostal would, unconsciously. And he would consider those folks that might naively misunderstand the historical definition of the Trinity, and clumsily try to describe it, he would consider those folks as not necessarily, of course he's not omniscient, but not necessarily being on equal footing and therefore equally deserving of being viewed as a false Christian, as a studied seminary professor in a oneness Pentecostal institution who aggressively attacks the Trinity at nearly every opportunity. Do you understand what I'm saying there?
Definitely. It brings to mind how that says when you go before the Lord that all your works come before you and some of the straw and stubble and such is burnt away. You know, obviously, some of these men, their foundation of heresy is a little more solid than somebody who just casually gets into it.
Okay, we have Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania, who says, what is the most troubling text to you that hyper-preterists present as proof of their view, that you have a hurdle to overcome in trying to reinterpret or exegete in a way that opposes their understanding?
I would say it's actually a collection of verses or texts. It's all the what they call time text. Everywhere we read at hand, soon, shortly, will be, all these texts here are difficult for any Bible scholar, anybody interacting with preterists, but they can immediately show you where a lot of those have to do with the immediate situation, what preterists will often call audience relevancy, the immediacy text. So when you read these texts, you have to figure out how you can, and the preterists will say, you elongate them or you elasticize them into the future, but you have to figure out how they would apply. For example, there's one where Jesus talks about how he's going to sit at the right hand of the Father. I think that's Matthew 26. And you'll see the Son of Man coming in his glory in the clouds. And you'll say, see, that happened in AD 70. But if you see it right, you can understand that historically, scholars have understood that as Jesus saying, I'm going to the throne next to my Father, and then for it'll be obvious to even the people who rejected me that I was who I said I was, the Messiah. It isn't something about him coming back. It's that I'm coming in the clouds is more of a reference to the analogy of I'm being exalted to my kingship. So this, I said this, all the time texts are difficult for people.
Well, thank you, Joseph. You've also won a free copy of Roderick's book about preterism, The End Is Past. So make sure you give us your full mailing address in South Central Pennsylvania so that cvbbs.com can ship that out to you. No charge to you or to us. We're going to our final break. It's going to be a lot more brief than the last breaks, but please, if you have a question and you want to join us on the air with that question, please send it in fairly quickly because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessialan 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Slauson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001,
Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
All hail the power of Jesus' name.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you have a question, send it in immediately because we are rapidly running out of time. Roderick, I want to make sure that before I take any listener question, that you summarize in about 5 minutes what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today, that they can walk away with after this program still remaining within their thoughts.
Well, obviously, from my own experience, it's easy to get into error. I wasn't studying preterism. I was studying the death of death and accidentally got into it. So before you launch off into something, and I try to be careful too, but obviously not careful enough, consult other Christians. That's obviously the reason why it says assemble, do not forsake yourself with assembly, because you need to take that to other Christians and see what they say. Am I off base here? Is my theology something strange? We've gotten to the part, especially as Protestants, where we think it's okay to be completely, completely different, like we're modern, many Martin Luthers, but that's not the case. We need to be careful with that. So that's what I hope that people will take away. And I think that's what the book outlines. It's a book for people who are preterists, who are interested in preterism. It's even a book for full preterists to see how they got there. So.
And let's see. We have a couple more listeners who have questions. We have CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, and he asks, from what I understand, there are very few, to put it mildly, actual churches that would describe themselves as full preterist. Is that true? Are there really not too many actual churches, or is most of this view being held by maverick Christians who are not associated or connected with any official body?
Definitely by maverick Christians. There are still few. There's David Curtis. There's Don Preston, oddly enough, and I think this is very important, Don Preston, who we consider the most vocal advocate of full federalism today, used to pastor a church in, I think it's Omaha, and it ceased to exist, at least under his pastorage. So my point is that, yes, it is under Mavericks, and it's not in any kind of larger body or denomination. Typically, when that happens, the denomination typically excommunicates the entire church out of their organization. So no, there's not that many of them. I bet there's not even 15 of them worldwide as churches.
Yeah, but even the view, not of all, I got to make sure I'm not broad brushing, because I know that Don Preston, having heard him say it from his own mouth, that he still believes in practicing the Lord's Supper and baptism. But there are some whose full preterism actually led them to abandon those very things. Am I right?
Right. There's one called Israel Only, which is basically the Nimitz, I can't say the word, to full preterists. It's actually the consistent outworking. It basically says that if you believe that all things are fulfilled and it was only for that audience, that everything that Jesus was saying, the Bible says, was only for the first century Christians, and there's no Christians after. They don't even consider themselves Christians anymore. That's the full, gamut of what full preterism can do to your faith. But there are no churches like that I know of.
Let's see. We have R.J. in White Plains, New York, who says, is this group known as full preterists a monolithic group, or is there a lot of infighting with people that even disassociate themselves from one another?
Well, that's what the book is kind of about, because you look back in the 1990s, they were more united. And then somewhere about the end of 1990s to 2000, they started breaking up, first over the whole emergent church. There was a large group of preterists that wanted to move in that direction. And a lot of them that wanted to move into universalism, especially since that they believe that they're no longer being judged for sin. Then there were the Calvinistic full preterists like me and Sam Frost, who definitely pushed back against that. But we began to see that even our views weren't consistent with our Calvinism. So eventually, it all falls apart. So yes, most preterists now, full preterists now, are probably pretty much on their own. There's no unity. A lot of the conferences have stopped. There's not that unity there was back in the early 1990s.
Well, thank you, RJ, and I don't know if I remembered to tell CJ and some of the other listeners who have sent in questions that you have all won so far. We haven't run out yet. You've all won a free copy of About Preterism, The End Is Past, thanks to the generosity of Roderick Edwards, who provided these books, and also thanks to the generosity of CVBBS.com. Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service will actually be shipping these books out to you. Let's see here. We have another anonymous listener. We have an anonymous listener who says, I have been continually finding what I believe to be very believable arguments in favor of what you are calling full preterism, and I was wondering what you could tell me at this point, although I may be asking too much in the brief time that is left in the show, that would dissuade me from this leaning, L-E-A-N-I-N-G.
Well, unfortunately, we talk about exegesis or hermeneutics, and I think Sam Frostby was one of the first to tell you that when he was a full preterist, he would often say he was using exegesis and hermeneutics and being very strict on how he's interpreting things, but now he's not a full preterist, he's still using exegesis and hermeneutics. So my point is that we can't really approach it that way at first. We have to approach it as the sovereignty of God. If God is in control, did he really allow his entire elect, early Christians, everything else, to be in error for this long? I mean, not just like a minor error, like Luther trying to advocate against the Catholic Church, but complete error, where basically we're going to overthrow the entire church. Basically, you can't be a full preterist and be a Christian. I'm not saying anything about your salvation. I'm talking about your communal standing in Christianity. You cannot be a Christian and a full preterist because they're not compatible.
By the way, I think I heard something that I would strongly disagree with. I don't think that Luther's opposition to the Church of Rome was a minor issue.
Oh, I didn't mean it was a minor. I've been saying what I meant by that is, in comparison, full preterism is even a bigger divergence. Luther often quoted the ancient faith. I mean, he didn't just say, hey, I'm only going to look at the Bible.
Yes, and I believe that the Roman Catholic Church departed from their ancient faith. They departed from the Church Fathers. But we're actually out of time, and it's been really fascinating discussing this with you, Roderick. How do our listeners get a hold of the book?
RoderickE.com/preterism is probably the easiest way, or look on Amazon about preterism. Look for my name, Roderick Edwards.
Great. Well, I want to thank you so much for being an excellent guest. I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all always to remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.